Good morning. I will be reading from Psalm 103 and from Matthew chapter 5. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good as long as you live, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works vindication and justice for all who are oppressed. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Some modern beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Blessed are the agnostics.
Blessed are they who doubt, those who aren't sure, who can still be surprised.
Blessed are they who are spiritually impoverished and therefore not so certain about everything that they no longer take in new information.
Blessed are those who have nothing to offer.
Blessed are they for whom nothing seems to be working.
Blessed are the poor in spirit. You are of heaven, and Jesus blesses you.
Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted.
Blessed are they for whom death is not an abstraction. Blessed are they who have buried their loved ones, for whom tears are as real as an ocean. Blessed are they who have loved enough to know what loss feels like.
Blessed are the mothers of the miscarried.
Blessed are they who can't fall apart because they have to keep it together for everyone else.
Blessed are the motherless, the alone, the ones from whom so much has been taken. Blessed are those who still aren't over it yet.
Blessed are those who mourn.
You are of heaven, and Jesus blesses you.
Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth.
Blessed are those who no one else notices, the kids who sit alone at middle school lunch tables, the laundry guys at the hospital, the sex workers, and the night shift street sweepers.
Blessed are the losers, and the babies, and the parts of ourselves that are so small.
The parts of ourselves that don't want to make eye contact with a world that only loves the winners.
Blessed
are the forgotten.
Blessed are the closeted. Blessed are the unemployed, the unimpressive.
Blessed are the teens who have to figure out ways to hide the new cuts on their arms.
Blessed are the meek.
You are of heaven,
and Jesus blesses you.
Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled.
Blessed are the wrongly accused, the ones who never catch a break, the ones for whom life is hard, for they are those with whom Jesus chose to surround himself.
Blessed are those without documentation.
Blessed are the ones without lobbyists.
Blessed are foster kids and trophy kids and special ed kids and every other kid who just wants to feel safe and loved and never does.
Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness.
Blessed are they who know there has to be more than this because they are right.
Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy.
Blessed are the burnt-out social workers and the overworked teachers and the pro bono case takers.
Blessed are the kids who step between the bullies and the weak.
Blessed are they who delete hateful, homophobic comments off their friends' Facebook page.
Blessed is everyone who has ever forgiven me when I didn't deserve it. Blessed are the merciful, for they totally get it.
Thank you to our readers. I'd like you to pray with me for a moment. Gracious God, we have heard your beatitudes, your blessings, the ancient texts from the Psalms and from the New Testament, and then this modern text by an edgy preacher who has some interesting things to say that I hope wake us up and help us to hear these blessings with new ears, the way the original audiences that Jesus spoke to, the crowds that Jesus spoke to, heard these blessings and thought, what kind of upside down world is he talking about? God, we ask you to bless all of us. Ask you to bless the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts. For you, O Lord, are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, surprise, surprise, I get to preach about extending blessing to the world. This couldn't have worked out better if I'd planned it. The last couple of times I filled in for David, I had to preach about delivering us from evil, and then there was misfits, and finally, I get to preach about something I really care about. Well, I care about those other things, too. Oh, whoops. Oh, I care about those other things, too. Okay, so we're going to talk about blessing the world. Now, is this going to work? I don't know if it's even on. Okay, I need technical help. How do we make this? Oh, there it did. It worked. Okay. I hope I know which button I pushed. Okay. We've been doing this sermon series called Blessed to Me for the last, well, this will be the fifth week. So those of you who have been here for even parts of the series know that it's a series about Celtic spirituality and Celtic Christianity, which is a type of Christianity that comes from Ireland and Scotland and Brittany, from the coasts of these countries, the rugged coasts. And this harks back to the 6th and 7th and 8th centuries, so quite some time ago when Celtic spirituality was developing. And it involves many things, but one of those is a sense of blessing in all things, so hence the title, Blessed to Me. Now, all right, which thing do I... There it is! It's just a little delayed. This whole series is designed by something called the Worship Design Studio, giving credit where it's due, that we've been using for our worship designs, and that's Dr. Marcia McPhee, who is the genius behind the Worship Design Studio. So this is... She provides all sorts of resources, images, and the basic spiritual underpinning of these ideas. So we'll give credit to Marcia for that. And our next one is, we are a blessed and a pilgrim people. Is that the next one? Okay, there's two parts to that. We are blessed, okay, and we are pilgrims. Hey, that's brilliant, isn't it? And the reason I picked... You're with me so far, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. I picked that particular hymn about you are the salt of the earth, O people, for one reason, because I love it, and for another reason, this was the phrase that came to me as I was preparing to prepare for this sermon, as I was contemplating this whole idea of how we extend blessing to the world, and this just came into my mind. We are a blessed and a pilgrim people. So not only are we blessed, but we carry that blessing out into the world with us. And so I'm hoping that sticks with you. I think somebody's working this for me up there. Okay, so part of the being blessed is an awareness of blessing all around us, and blessing in things that are large, can't get much larger than the General Sherman tree, and in things that are small. So do we come up? There it is. Things that are small, like butterflies. Welcome. Butterflies and flowers, so all around us are blessings. Many times we think of this as in the natural world. So these are our blessings. Now, this is interesting. Don't put this one up yet, the next one up yet, because this was interesting. I was going to say we're blessed in ordinary moments and extraordinary moments. Now, we're in what's called ordinary time. That's what this green stole indicates. It's part of the church year. Some of you have grown up with churches that recognize the seasons of the church year, and some have not. But there are feast days like Easter and Christmas and times of preparation like Lent and Advent, and then there are the ordinary times, and summer is always part of the ordinary time. But look what I found when I went looking for something about ordinary moments. Ha! There are no ordinary moments. Ha! So that is the point, that the blessings that we receive tend to turn ordinary moments into the extraordinary moments. Okay, the next one. I did want to highlight some special moments because we've had several. So the next slide is, you remember that moment not so long ago, wonderful wedding that took place here, Jeff and Mark. And that's a moment from my life when my sons were born. That's Jim and me back in the neonatal care unit some many years ago. So we all have special moments in our lives. Okay, let's go on to the next one. Okay, so that was the blessing part. Now we get to the pilgrim part. We're pilgrims on a journey. Now, when many of us think of pilgrims, we think of the Mayflower. We think of the pilgrims and the Indians from the first Thanksgiving. Or maybe if we're really sophisticated, we think about Chaucer's pilgrims on the pilgrimage to Canterbury. No, I see shaking heads. Well, okay, some of us might think about that. If you're an English major, that's what you think about. But let's go back to the pilgrims. We have actually a legitimate connection with the pilgrims when we think of that word, because Bethel happens to be a church in the congregational tradition. And that means we are spiritual descendants of the pilgrims who came from England seeking an opportunity to worship the way they wished. And so you will find in the United Church of Christ lots and lots of things named pilgrim or Mayflower, anything to do with pilgrims. Pilgrim. We used to have the Pilgrim Hymnal. There are lots of camps called Pilgrim Cove and Pilgrim Firs and Pilgrim Pines and all of those things. And there are Mayflower churches and all of that. So that's a legitimate reference. And if you want to have a quick lecture on history and polity of the UCC, we can do that after. But right now we're going to go on to other kinds of pilgrimage. Many religions have the concept of pilgrimage, of journeying. And so let's go to the next one. Okay, good. Yeah, there we go. There's, in the Jewish tradition, pilgrims go to the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem. In the Islamic tradition, there are pilgrimages to Mecca and Medina. And the next one is the Roman Catholic tradition, where we have pilgrimages to Rome. So many religions have the idea of pilgrimage. Pilgrimage usually involves, obviously, travel, moving out, leaving your home, the place you are, and going often to a sacred site, a place of holy ground. And so that's the basic idea of pilgrimage. All right, the next one. I wanted to talk to you about some of my personal experiences of pilgrimage. I've always had a longing for a deeper spirituality. This is something that was just built into my DNA somehow. And I've always known that while what we do here on Sunday morning is important to our spiritual lives, it isn't everything. You can't get everything in 1 hour a week in church. Your spiritual life is a whole lot bigger than that. And God has put resources out there that will enhance your sense of your closeness to God and your walk with Jesus and your feeling that the Holy Spirit is within you and around you and guiding you, leading you. So I have Camp Adams up there. Some years ago in the 80s, there were some good things that came out of the 80s, but one of them was the Pilgrimage Retreat Series. And that was a series of three retreats over a one-year period for those who were seeking this closer walk with God. And it came out of the United Church of Christ National, what was called the Office of Church Life and Leadership, OCCL, which was pronounced OCL. And OCL doesn't exist anymore, but they put out this wonderful retreat series, and people trained to lead it, and eventually I trained to lead it, as did my good friend Patty Mattson, whose picture you're going to see up here more than once. So thank you, Patty, for being my companion on these pilgrimages. And mostly that took place at Camp Adams. So any of you, how many of you have been to Camp Adams? Oh, good. Lots of hands. So Camp Adams is what many of us regard as holy ground, and that's our camp near Malala, Oregon. So a pilgrimage doesn't necessarily involve going really far away from home. I also attended a number of CPC, that's Central Pacific Conference, our regional church, CPC women's camps at Camp Adams. And I have to do a plug here. This year's women's camp is October 6th through 8th, and I'm leading it. So I invite you all to come and learn about spirituality and resistance. Resistance is a big word for us this year, ever since January the 20th. And so we need to work with that. We're going to look at the way in which women in Palestine are involved in their resistance to the occupation, and then kind of work from that to our own understanding of what resistance means for each of us and how that relates to our faith. And I've also been a chaplain at summer camp a couple of times out there. So these are all experiences I've had that have deepened my faith through the wider church, through the Central Pacific Conference. Now I've got Kenita up there because that's where we have the Northwest Regional Women's Conference, and several women from this church were on the last one. We made a concerted effort to get a bunch of folks there, and this is women not just from Central Pacific Conference, but also Pacific Northwest Conference, which is the Washington area, state of Washington, and northern part of Idaho. And this is a marvelous thing. It only happens once every 4 years, so you have to grab it when it comes around. And I've been to, not sure how many of these, but quite a few, maybe half a dozen. I'm old. That's what happens. But I can't begin to explain how wonderful it is when you have 200, 250 women together worshiping, singing. It's powerful. And I'm sorry, guys, but women network, women connect, and that's kind of how we do. And so it's really powerful. Okay, so that explains a little about my personal pilgrimage. Now, there's the next slide has some more. Some years back, Hurricane Katrina slammed into the Gulf Coast. And And it turns out that the United Church of Christ has a mission that's been around for a lot of years, about 80, maybe 90 years now, called Back Bay Mission in Biloxi, Mississippi. And a bunch of us from the Central Pacific Conference went down to Back Bay Mission, and we spent a week helping rehab houses. The entire campus of Back Bay Mission was destroyed by Hurricane Katrina, so we were in trailers. And anyway, it was a really good experience. That's our conference minister, the one that just retired, Walter John Boris, that's kneeling there. And this was another opportunity to meet people from all over the conference and spend time with them on a joint mission trip. Okay, the next one. Many of you know that I've done clean water work in Haiti. Go ahead and, yeah, that's a group that Patty Mattson and I were with. The man third from the left is Siobhan Jean-Baptiste, and he's the leader of the Mouvement Paysan de Papay, which is the peasant movement of Papay, which is a national farmers collective. And they function basically in the ways that government would function for us. They do the infrastructure, the roads, and the water work. And so that's some of the work I did. There's another slide there. Yeah, that shows one of the first wells when the first water came through. And so that's very joyful. Picture. These people, conditions in Haiti are about the worst in our hemisphere, some of the worst in the world, comparable to sub-Saharan Africa. And so many children die from preventable diseases. And so that's why that work was so important. And this church supported me and Patty and provided money for wells and drilling. So that was great. And I did go back with my husband and our son some years later to continue some of that work. Okay, let's go to the next one. Okay, and so then I just kept going on, pilgrimages. Top slide is in Turkey. That was a trip called In the Footsteps of Paul and John. We went to the places that Paul established churches, and the places that are mentioned by John, the author of the book of Revelation, are seven churches mentioned by him. And so that was, again, a chance of deepening faith, and that was something I learned of through my involvement with Global Ministries. And then the lower picture is our group that went on the Footsteps of Jesus tour in Palestine and Israel. And as some of you know, that was transformational for me and for Patty and Jim and all of those who were involved, because we learned a lot about the struggle of the Palestinian people under Israeli military occupation. And this is something that I am continuing to consider a ministry to increase awareness about that through our Central Pacific Conference Palestine-Israel network. Okay, so you get the idea of some of the pilgrimages I've been on. Everybody has perhaps a different calling to whatever pilgrimage you might be called to take. Let's go to the next slide. Going back to the Celtic Christianity, I wanted to mention, I had to have a picture of Celtic saints in coracles. A coracle is a little round boat, and that's what these intrepid voyagers, including St. Brendan the Navigator, traveled in when they set out into the North Sea, if you can imagine that, in these little round boats made out of reeds. And so just to emphasize the fact that this pilgrimage idea is part of Celtic Christianity, and the idea of mission and taking the blessings that you've been given, the Word of God, out to other people. Okay, let's go to the next one. All right. Obviously, there's two things you can do when you've received blessing. You could be like that cat on the couch there. And let's be honest, sometimes we're all like that, right? It's all mine, all mine. So just understand that and back off, right? But obviously, the way of Jesus, the way of Christianity, Celtic or otherwise, is sharing blessings. and not just sharing blessings in your own community, in your own state or region or nation, but worldwide. I think we all know that we live in a global environment. Certainly anyone involved in business knows that. Anyone involved in advertising knows that. And sometimes it seems like we in the church are running a little behind if we don't understand that part of our calling is to share blessing with the entire world. Let's go to the next one. Okay, I wanted to talk a little bit about what I call church with a capital C. And when we talk about church, most of us mean that yellow dot in the center, the local church. For us, that's Bethel. And the reason, how many know why we say Bethel Beaverton? Does anybody know why? Yeah, Carolyn knows why. Because there's a Bethel Church in White Salmon, Washington, which is also part of our conference. So if you don't say Bethel Beaverton, who knows what you're talking about? And so sometimes we're so isolated, we don't even know about our sister churches in our conference. And so I think that's an important thing to know about. Now the next ring is the regional church, and for us that's the Central Pacific Conference of the United Church of Christ. We call our regional churches conferences. I think there are some 33 conferences in the UCC, at least there used to be. That may have shrunk some. Oh, and in our conference, I believe we have 47 churches at this time. We've had some churches that have closed, so it's hard to keep count. But every year at the regional level, we have a regional assembly, we have regional ministry teams. I serve on the wider church ministry team, and I've served on that for a number of years. And these teams provide lots of resources for local churches. A lot of stuff comes through, but a lot of it comes to the office and then doesn't get beyond there because there's no one in the church who has that sort of hat on to follow through on that. And we're trying to change some of that. Now, the ring beyond that is the national church, which in our case is the denomination, the United Church of Christ. And that is headquartered in, who knows? Where is our headquarters? Cleveland, don't all say it at once, yes. Cleveland, Ohio, is the headquarters of the United Church of Christ. And because I'm now, once again, on the Global Missions Board of Directors, I get all expense paid trips to Cleveland once a year. So that is a perk. And then beyond the national church, we have the worldwide church, which is the global ministries work that we do in conjunction with the Disciples of Christ. So it's an ecumenical effort. Our mission work is both ecumenical and multi-faith. And we go where there is the greatest need. We do not initiate mission out into the world. We go where we are invited to go, and we work with mission partners. Our missionaries are now called mission co-workers, and for that's what they are. And some of you have met Kim and Eric Free, who were our missionaries in Mozambique, and they've been here to speak. So that's just the basic structure. And I chose the circle because that's important in Celtic Christianity, the circle, the idea of everlasting, eternal life, never ending. And the circles are concentric. They're all together. It's not a hierarchy. You can go from the local church to the national church to the world church. You know, there's no hierarchy. There's no, you know, it's not that the world church tells the national church what to do, blah, 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 down the line. It's you find yourself where you find yourself at any particular time. Okay, let's go on to the next one. When you bless the world, you are blessed. That's really my main point today. I'm not just talking about extending blessing to the world because it's the right thing to do, even though it is, but you get so much back when you bless the world. So let's go to, okay, that was my from my trip to Turkey. Got to see the what are called the whirling dervishes. And this one's from Radat El-Zuhur Church, or church school in East Jerusalem, where I sponsor, Jim and I together sponsor children, and we have for many years, helped pay their school fees. It was such a delight to be there and be amongst those children. Okay, the next one. Oh, Patty knows these two. These are two men that we met in Bethlehem. The one on the left is Rami Elhanan, who's an Israeli Jewish person, and the one on the right, Basim Aramin. And Basim is Muslim, and they are brothers because they're brothers in grief. They both lost daughters in the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. Both of their daughters were killed, not simultaneously, but and they came together in an organization called the Parent Circle, which brings together those who share their grief over the tragedies caused by this conflict and work to overcome it. And for that, for Rami to even come into Bethlehem, we were not supposed to know how he got there because it's illegal for him to be there because Bethlehem is in the West Bank. And so that was an interest. That was one, Margaret Holden, who's one of our travelers. Okay, the next one. It's too bad that these slides come out too dark, but that was in Haiti the day we went to church. And that was, we're talking about a country that's so poor that it's amazing. Here these women were dressed to the nines to go to church. And it was very impressive. Okay, so that's just a small smattering, a small sampling of the blessings that I have received through work in the wider church. And I could do slides all day on that point. But the thing I want to talk about is companions on the journey. And let's go ahead and show some of these. Sherry Presteman, she was the executive director at Back Bay Mission when I was there. That's the Palestine-Israel Network of the Central Pacific Conference celebrating the passage of a resolution about the Palestine-Israel conflict at our annual meeting. There's three women who represent three different faiths, Christianity, Islam, and the Jewish faith, and they spoke at a women's conference I attended. And the next one, that's our friends Kim and Eric Free. And then the next one, that's our group that went to the Kenita retreat this last year. So those are some of my companions on the journey. And some of them are from this church, and I'm glad to say that. But I'll tell you something. I long for more companions from Bethel Church in my wider church work. The work with the conference, the work with the national church, the work with the worldwide church. And I'm at the stage of life where I'm thinking a lot about how am I going to pass on this knowledge that I have gained through the experiences I've had. And I've had many wonderful mentors over the years who have guided me and helped me into the next stage of deepening my faith. And I'm at the place where I'd like to do that for others. So I'm seeking someone who would like to learn more about the wider church. Someone from this church. Because I have lots of companions on the way from other churches throughout our conference, in the wider church, the national church. But I'm kind of trying to place in your hearts a desire, perhaps, if you feel that, and if you're interested at all, if you feel God might be calling you to this type of work, please let me know, because I'm longing to share this work with others at Bethel and have someone to carry it on when I'm gone. All right, next one. I want to leave you with some points to ponder as you go about your week. First one is this: what blessings could you be sharing with the world? What blessings could you be sharing with the world? What is it that you know because of your walk with Jesus that you could share with others? Next one, this is the other side of that coin. What blessings might you receive by opening up yourself to the wider church and the wider world? So if you've never thought about that, if you've always sort of thought, well, I do what I do right here, think about what you might receive from others. And finally, what pilgrimage might God be calling you to take? And so just reflect on these things this week. I ask you to do that. And keep your eyes and ears open. In my life, when I've heard about something new and opened my heart to it, excuse me, I often see something coming seemingly out of the blue. But it's not out of the blue. It's God's leading. And so I invite you to ponder these things. And the final, there's a final little bit there. So in conclusion, we are a blessed and a pilgrim people. And we're bound for the city of God. And we're trying to make manifest the city of God, the reign of God, the love of God in this world. And so for that, I say, praise God. Amen.